We are sitting today with Tyler Jewell, CEO of Akka, his fourth DevEx CEO role, having previously led WSO2, CodeEnvy, and the middleware company. He also publishes a developer-led landscape, a public database of 1,600 DevOps companies and their trends. Beyond the tech world, Tyler is a private pilot and volunteers with Angel Flights out of Aurora, Oregon. It's great to have you back on the podcast, Tyler. The last time we spoke, we touched on responsive applications and resilience in system design. Since then, what's been happening at Akka and how has your focus evolved?
Yeah, I'm the CEO of Akka, formerly known as Lightbend. We are a technology company that provides an SDK and platform for building systems that can have infinite scale and guaranteed resilience. And we last spoke about 6 months ago, talking about responsive applications and the nature of systems that need to have resilience and elasticity. And since then, we've been having a wonderful time in this area of AI and agentic computation with almost 50 customers in production and about a dozen of them working on really interesting AI projects.
You mentioned that Akka's customers are already implementing agentic AI systems. With AI adoption accelerating, what trends are you observing in the market? And what unique challenges does this shift introduce?
Well, you know, if you listen to Gartner, Gartner's telling us that, you know, in the next 4 years, one third of all SaaS applications are going to go through some sort of agentic AI transformation. And that's just a stunning, stunning statistic in that it was over a decade before we had over a third of a companies with a mobile transformation. So as we've all seen and heard about AI is transforming our lives very quickly. And now we're going to see that penetrate the application market, both custom applications and off-the-shelf applications. And, you know, that's the area where we've been focusing on is how do you marry these systems together? How do you bring them together to create really unique value? And there are three things you can do when you marry your application with AI together. One, you can get enhanced personalized experiences. Two, you can automate the routine or mundane tasks that humans don't want to perform so that they can spend more time on strategic issues. And three, you can teach your applications to be aware of their environment, sense the behaviors around them and adapt. They can become adaptive to those environments. And this transformation is not going to happen, you know, overnight. Even though we're going to have a lot of projects happening all at the same time. And right now, over half of all AI projects and more than three quarters of AI projects related to applications do not make it into production. They fail. And there's really three reasons for that. One is the lack of certainty. These systems hallucinate, they deviate, they are stochastic systems by nature. So there's a high degree of uncertainty, and that's problematic for a lot of environments. Data privacy issues, because these LLMs have the ability to disclose information inadvertently that you don't want them to disclose. And then scale. Scaling these things, we're looking at two orders of magnitude higher transactions per second in volume as a result of the agentic wave that's coming.
You've highlighted some of the major hurdles AI projects face in moving to production: uncertainty, data privacy, and scalability. Given this landscape, there's a lot of excitement, but also skepticism. How do you see the current hype around AI, particularly agentic AI, aligning with reality?
Yeah, what's really interesting is that we're looking at a world that's evolving on an agency scale, from low agency to high agency. And the difference here in that in a high agency world, you have effectively autonomous reasoning organisms that are able to work towards goals. And humans are fully agentic. We have full agency. We're fully agentic because we are completely autonomous. We can reason. On the opposite side of the spectrum, on the low agency side, you have very structured deterministic behaviors that happen over and over again. Think almost robotic in nature. And along that, there's just a whole spectrum of things that you can do. And the market of robotic process automation, RPA, has been around for 10, maybe 15 years, and that's on the low agency side. And really what's got everybody so excited is that now there are these things called agents that have mid forms of agency and now agentic services, which has high forms of autonomous behavior. I think the skepticism that has come along is that a lot of the emerging tech companies who are promoting these technologies are doing so by claiming that these systems can reason and that they can learn. And that's such a bold word in and of itself, that you can reason and learn on its own. You know, it's a very high bar to approach and to achieve. And these things don't really do that. And I think that that's where the skepticism comes in. And when you marry it with this idea that you're saying, hey, your systems can learn, but yet they're going to hallucinate on, you know, some unpredictable and continuous way, you know, I think that there's just like, hey, your promises that you're making to us don't line up with the reality of what's happening out in the marketplace. Having said that, given that the way that a lot of companies hype the LLM technology versus the reality that's there, once you sort through the fog and you clear it all out, there are a number of very pragmatic and extremely practical uses of these technologies, even though they hallucinate. And that, I think, is where it's exciting to us, because when you understand them for what they really are, and then you start marrying them in intelligent ways to your applications, you can get a lot of these benefits like personalization, automation, and adaptation.
You've touched on the inherent unpredictability of AI-driven systems. Building on that, traditional system architectures have long aimed for deterministic, failure-resistant designs. How should teams rethink their approach when architecting systems that embrace stochastic behavior rather than deterministic principles?
Well, I think you just hit it on the head right there with the way that you asked the question, which is that in the last 30 years of us learning how to build cloud systems that for your applications with databases, all those systems were deterministic in nature. And so we created a mindset and a methodology of our goal being no failure, that that was always what we were striving for, and that we believed that that was achievable. We could have 6 nines of availability. We could have very infrequent performance issues. We can have a system that's basically always accessible to the users who need to have accessibility to it. And we strive towards that perfection. If you do that with a system based upon an LLM or AI, you are going to fail. That system, by definition, is stochastic, it's probabilistic. It is not going to draw the same answer time and time and time again. You can give the same prompt to an LLM 3 times and get 3 different answers. And so instead of looking at AI-based systems as systems that you're striving towards perfection, you need to take the inverse. You need to start by looking at this system as an imperfect system. It is going to fail. It's not a question of when it's going to happen. It's only going to account for how many times it's going to fail. And so take this mindset of, we have to embrace failure. We have to design for failure. We have to be a failure-first system. And that leads to the principles of how you start thinking about an architecture that can work across your SaaS applications and your AI applications all cohesively.
As you just mentioned, agentic AI services introduce both complexity and unpredictability. Given these challenges, what architectural patterns have you seen work best to ensure fault tolerance in such systems?
Well, you know, this is where I got to push Akka really hard, because the answer here is event-driven architecture. It's the beginning, it's the middle, and it's the end answer to how you solve these problems. It helps to start by understanding what an LLM is. An LLM is a stateless object. It takes a request, it gives you a response, and it has no memory. It absolutely has no sort of memory associated with it. So every request you give to it, it doesn't remember what you asked it before. So whoever's making that invocation is responsible for building up that memory and making sure that the next request going in has that full context and history associated with it. Furthermore, when an LLM responds, because it's processing tokens and it's sending answers out as a set of tokens, those tokens come out in chunks. And those chunks happen over time. Those chunks are basically events. And the chunks over time is event streaming. So even though people don't think of them this way, LLMs are an event-driven object. And so since it's an unreliable event-driven object, obviously the agentic platform that's going to be engaging with it. In order for it to engage with it reliably, that platform should also be event-driven, which means that it talks to the LLMs using events. It understands that it can overwhelm that platform, so it needs to have back pressure, failover, load balancing, circuit breakers, all baked into it in part of that natural conversational flow, in addition to having a mechanism that it has that context database and memory database so that it keeps building up that conversational history on each iteration over and over again.
A lot of discussions around agentic AI center on the extent of autonomy these systems can achieve. While the vision is fully autonomous agents, the reality is more nuanced. Do you see human intervention remaining a critical component? And can you share some real-world examples that illustrate this balance?
Well, you know, autonomous systems where the idea that agents never sleep and they come to conclusions on their own is a wonderful goal to strive for. The hard part here is that since LLMs do hallucinate from time to time, how do you allow an LLM to continue to operate continuously without any sort of human intervention? So there's actually a bunch of best practices that you can now apply to start to bake in certainty where uncertainty exists. The most common and the most reliable mechanism is to make sure that all these conclusions drawn by an LLM are checked by a human. So human in the loop pattern on that. And for almost all the systems that we've seen go into production, they've started with really small evaluations by the LLM, and they've always had some sort of human reviewer or evaluator in order to sign off and check off on it before they give it additional automation responsibilities. That's one thing to do. And generally what happens even as part of that, the other pattern that's pretty good here is you ask an LLM to do something, and then you teach a bunch of other LLMs how to evaluate its work. And it turns out that even though you might ask an LLM to say, hey, write this blog for me, it's going to get it, you know, mostly correct. When you give a separate LLM to say, hey, read this blog and then check it for, you know, underage language that is inappropriate, that kind of specialty evaluator is way more effective at catching those errors versus had you put that requirement in the original blog author LLM itself. So this sort of executor evaluator sequence of back and forth, and iterating on that is kind of a way to augment a human review, even though you might still want that human review at the end.
In a recent webinar, you spoke about handling 2 million TPS workloads in a real-world RAD case study. That level of scale requires precise engineering trade-offs. What were the key decisions that enabled such high throughput, and what compromises had to be made?
Yeah, in this particular case, Swiggy, which is out of India, they had an IPO recently. They're in the 2 to 3 million inferences per second. It's across a range of machine learning models and LLMs. And what they're doing is they're aggregating a bunch of different personalization decisions into a uniform set of recommendations that they then parse out. And Akka acts as the inference layer. And the models themselves were written in different languages, Python, Go, Java, and LLMs that have an API on the front of it. And they all have different latency profiles associated with them. So the real trick here was building an inference layer that could work with the blended set of models. So you needed a common inference layer. And then when you had models that were starting to degrade, you know, they start slowing down, their responses become longer and longer, and they had a 100 millisecond threshold for responsiveness. When they start to degrade, you need to have the system be able to detect that. You have to understand that there's a cost associated with that, and then to start rotating that traffic to either other models that will give different answers or other models that will perform better. And then once you do that, you basically scale out the inference between the users who are getting a very predictable sort of response time with the inference layer, which is handling the unpredictability of the backend.
LLM inference costs can be prohibitive, sometimes up to 100,000 times more than a traditional database transaction. Given these economics, what strategies do you recommend for balancing cost and quality in agentic AI workloads?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the cost and quality are going to be handoffs to one another here. You know, it's interesting in that you can get an LLM with 36% accuracy on the MLRU scoreboard that costs a penny to execute. And if you take an 86% accurate open source LLM, which is now the kind of the highest performing LLM that's out there, it's going to be 800,000 times more expensive than that cheap one. So there's obviously a huge spectrum in the cost to execute a very accurate LLM versus a very inaccurate LLM. And the design practices that tend to work well here is that there's a lot of very hard tasks, usually related to, like, say, planning a vacation. Plan my whole vacation for me under all these sort of conditions. When you have a very broad, you know, very difficult sort of problem that way, you want the most expensive LLMs because they're going to be more accurate. They're going to request less cycles to think. And then if there's a bunch of subtasks or a bunch of sub-evaluation tasks, it turns out that the more narrow the task is, you know, the easier it is to use a less accurate LLM, and it will still provide that sort of accuracy. So it really gets into how do you want to design the reasoning system and not look at these LLMs as these one-shot sort of organisms, but rather they are a fleet of reasoning mechanisms that have to all coordinate with each other against some sort of performance footprint and a cost footprint.
You've pointed out how AI-driven workloads can put significant strain on infrastructure. In this context, how do event-driven architectures and actor-based concurrency models, such as Akka's, help mitigate these scalability bottlenecks?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is you have to be pretty darn mindful in that right now, if you build up your agentic stack independent of your SaaS and database stack, what you're doing is you're going to be duplicating a lot of infrastructure, storage, compute, memory, IO. And, you know, even though LLMs are costly and very expensive to run, because they're unreliable and their latencies are so long, a lot of agentic platforms force you to over-provision your compute and to use pretty weak runtimes like Python runtimes, or in some cases, TypeScript runtimes that run slow or unnecessarily memory hungry. And so what you've done is you've created this entirely duplicate stack. You're having to over-provision a bunch of infrastructure in order to, you know, accommodate that agentic behavior. And so your costs have just really skyrocketed. So what's great about an event-driven architecture is if you have a proper event-driven architecture designed with actors, those actors only consume the compute and memory for the duration of the actor's command responsibility in relationship to that event. And when they're done with that, they should disappear. And I think like a well-designed system should handle that. And when you do that, and Akka's very good at this was kind of the principles of Akka for 15 years ago, it allows you to effectively run hundreds of millions of concurrent actors on a single core and get near perfect utilization out of the compute, memory, and IO that's available on that system, which becomes essential at the sort of scale that you are here. So that sort of benefit can actually cause you to reduce your cloud infrastructure costs by up to 70%. And in the case of Akka, when you run your API services, your data services, and your agentic services all on the common platform, we can get the cost down by 70% because we provide a shared compute model that works across all those different services, regardless of how they're interacting with the systems underneath.
Beyond performance and cost, security and compliance remain major concerns, particularly when dealing with AI at scale. What are the biggest security risks you see with agentic AI, and how can organizations proactively address them?
Oh man, privacy. There are just so many weird things that can happen. LLMs can accidentally disclose information that it was trained with, and there's nothing you can do right now, as far as I understand, there's nothing you can do to prevent it from doing that. So you have to be very mindful that if the LLM happened to be trained with PII data, it could be disclosed at the end of the day. Another thing that happens is even if it somehow doesn't disclose your PII data, it might be able to give enough circuitous data about an individual, such as where you live, who you're married to, for example, that you could actually figure out who the LLM is talking about, even though the LLM was trying not to disclose who it was mentioning on that front. So because of these sort of fundamental issues, there are just huge privacy and compliance issues. You know, I was just on the phone yesterday with a top five bank, and even though they've got you know, 1,000 people working on AI, there's zero plans for them to move any of that stuff near production because the risk of a violation is just way too high for them. You know, right now there's all kinds of amazing startups that are trying to tackle this problem, but the only way to properly address it is either to build your own model where you can guarantee that there's just no vulnerable data that's getting into it, or you have to put a human to review everything that comes out of it and to validate it to make sure that you don't run into a compliance bottleneck.
AI models and agentic frameworks are evolving rapidly. What emerging trends or innovations excite you the most in making these systems more practical, scalable, and reliable for enterprise use?
Right now, you know, we're seeing kind of really three interesting things happening in the agentic world. One is Ambient agents, which is the ability for agents to react to events from their outside world and then to provide new recommendations and solutions. So this could be, for example, you get a click stream of data from somebody browsing a website. You could convert those into a set of real-time events and then have the agent be an ambient agent reacting to it. Another example of that would be audio and video and real-time streaming ingest. So that video is coming in, you want to augment that in some sort of intelligent way and then forward it on to an unreliable LLM. So those are really interesting areas because this is at least having your agentic services start to observe and interact with the world that's around them, which is very different than the human conversational back and forth agents that we've all seen. Other areas that I think are pretty interesting, a lot of design patterns and practices, and we're going to be doing a webinar with InfoQ on these. And I think we're seeing a good 5 or 6 common patterns of how you combine LLMs together to achieve a greater goal. And these design patterns are now having some reasonable success and proof out into the marketplace. So I think others can start to follow along and shape them to their own needs. And then the last is tool calling, which is teaching an LLM, giving an LLM a really good prompt and telling it that there may be certain information that you need. If you need to get your hands on that information, here's an API that can be called. And what the LLM does, the LLM can't call it, it's stateless, right? But the LLM can come to the conclusion that it needs to call the API and it spits out the API to call, and then the agent can call it on its behalf, and then take the response, repackage it into the prompt, and resend it over to the LLM. So this sort of whole tool calling paradigm is really all the buzz right now. And there's a protocol called Model Context Protocol that standardizes how agents can work with a variety of different third-party systems in a standard way. And that was invented by Anthropic.
How do you see Akka contributing to the development of agentic AI? What capabilities does Akka offer in this space?
You know, really 5 things that we're doing here. One is we want to make sure that every LLM is an event-driven object so that you can get asynchronous communication with back pressure and failover with it. So that's a big, big deal of what we do. The second is a streaming ingest so that you can send metrics, ambient event data, or audio video into an endpoint and be able to augment that in real time, even though the LLMs are not real time. And then obviously we're an agent development platform. You can build agentic services and run them on a shared compute model with your data services and API services. And in order to do that, that means you have to be an orchestrator and you have to provide a memory database that stores the history, the conversational context. And so those 5 things we're all doing and we're shipping that and we've got some pretty happy customers.
Finally, how can people get started building agentic AI systems with Akka?
If you go to akka.io and do our get started workflow with the SDK, it's been updated and it's now an agentic system that you build from scratch.
Tyler, as always, thank you for sharing your valuable insights and taking the time to join us today.
That was awesome, Nitin. Thank you for having us.